So have you all read chapter 10 in the story for this week? I'm seeing some nods. If you don't have a book, there's still more of these books, by the way, the story, taking us through the story of the Bible. And chapter 10 is where we're at for this weekend today. And chapter 10 takes us into the Bible book of 1 Samuel. And the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, takes us to the story of a woman named Hannah. Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. This past week, being Thanksgiving, as I read through the chapter and read about Hannah initially, I was thinking of a number of Bible verses that have to do with giving thanks. There are a lot of them. But one in particular, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, says, "Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That alone is worth thinking about each day, and this year, every year, but I mean all the circumstances people go through, and to give thanks in all of them. Well, I took that verse and I thought I'd bring it back and kind of overlay it with Hannah's story. Hannah is a godly woman. And I was like, she goes through a lot of things, and does she give thanks in all circumstances? So we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. And the three parts here. First, giving thanks when you don't feel like giving thanks. Giving thanks when it's really, really hard to feel thankful for anything. That's the first one. The second one, giving thanks by faith. And by this, I mean primarily giving thanks when you simply know that God hears you. That's it. Giving thanks in faith. And third, the last one, kind of the easier one, giving thanks when your cup overflows, when you are feeling blessed and overwhelmed by God's grace and love, giving thanks. So those three parts. First, giving thanks when you don't feel thankful. You can have that in mind. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 1, the first 16 verses for this first part. And I'll tell you up front, we're going to hit some names right off. Don't let your eyes glaze over. Stay tuned. Listen particularly for Hannah and what comes there, okay? Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. "There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite." You still with me? That was a tough one right there. Okay. Verse 2. "He," that is Elkanah, "he had two wives. One was called Hannah," there she is, "and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man, Elkanah, went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, 'Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?' Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, 'How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine.' 'Not so, my lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer.
I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. So the first 16 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 1, and looking at giving thanks when you don't feel thankful. We looked at this last week. When you feel pain, when you feel grief, when you feel bitterness, anguish, what does God want you to do with it? God wants you to take it to Him. To take it to Him. With Hannah, I mean, she's in anguish already, and she has a husband, Elkanah, who loves her deeply, and yet, as we see there, he doesn't get it, does he? He's content, but of course he has another wife, Peninnah, and they have children. He wants Hannah just to be happy with him. And it's not that Hannah doesn't love him, but her heart is set on having a child, on having a son. You know, Elkanah says, aren't I worth more to you than 10 sons? That's not really the point. And when someone else who's close to you doesn't get it, that makes you feel all the worse in a way, more lonely. He doesn't even understand, right? Verse 10, it says, in her deep anguish, she prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. This anguish is deep. You know, again, last week we looked at Naomi. Now, she was feeling bitter when she came back to Bethlehem from Moab. She said, the Lord brought me away full. She had a husband, two sons, and he brought me back to Bethlehem empty. Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me bitter. I was empty. This with Hannah is a cousin to bitterness. It's anguish. She hasn't lost anyone yet. She simply has an unfulfilled desire, a deep yearning for a son. And she cries out to God in this anguish. Again, that word deep is there. Not only anguish, but a deep, down deep in the soul, anguish. Psalm 42 is one of the words God gives us to use to cry out back to Him from deep anguish, from sadness. Just a couple verses in Psalm 42, verse 6, it says, my soul is downcast within me. And then verse 7 says, deep calls to deep. Hannah is in deep anguish, and she calls out from that deep place to her Lord, deep calling to deep. The Lord caused this, by the way. It makes it clear. Verse 5, the second part of that, and into verse 6, it says, the Lord had closed her womb, Hannah's womb. Verse 6, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, the Lord did this. So she rightfully is crying out back to the Lord, why? I want to have a son. You have closed my womb. Now, was Hannah giving thanks in all circumstances? She wasn't giving thanks. Right? In fact, in this whole chapter, it never says that she gave thanks, but we can kind of get underneath that. She's not giving thanks, but what is she doing? She's praying to the Lord. She's crying out to Him. She's facing in the right direction. Right? Dare I say, Hannah wants to give thanks. She's in deep anguish. She wants to, but she's in that place. When I was in college, I was a Christian. I was going to church. I was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. I was going to Bible study. I was involved in a lot of what we'd say are Christian activities. But when I was alone, I knew I was not spending time with God. I was not reading the Word. I was not spending much time in prayer. I saw other people. I heard them talk about their time with the Lord. I heard them talk about His Word and how He had spoken to them, and I kind of wanted that. But I knew, and the Lord knew, I wasn't there. And I prayed. I said, Lord, You know, on my own time, I don't want to read Your Word. If I did, I'd be doing it. But I want to read Your Word. I'm like a step away. I was in the right direction. I prayed and I asked God that He would give me that desire and discipline to spend time in the Word, because it does take discipline, right? And desire to hear from Him. And He answered that prayer. I wasn't there, but I was facing in the right direction, if you will. Hannah wasn't giving thanks, but she's crying out to God. She's facing in the right direction. So that's the first one. Giving thanks when you don't feel like giving thanks. It's not easy, is it? But He wants us simply to come to Him and cry out. So part two is giving thanks in faith. This is when you give thanks simply for knowing God has heard your prayer. He hears you. Picking up in verse 17 in 1 Samuel chapter 1. So she's praying and her lips are moving and she's praying in her heart and soul, but no sound is coming out. And Eli, the priest there, he sees her, sees her lips moving, and he thinks she's drunk. And he calls her out for that. She explains, "I have not been drinking. I am simply," she says, "pouring out my soul to the Lord." These are her own words. "I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord." Now, verse 17, Eli answers her, "Go in peace. Go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of Him." And she said, "Listen, may your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Did you hear what happened? She'd been praying in deep anguish. She's mistaken for being drunk. She explains she's not, that she's praying to the Lord. The priest says, "Go in peace." He doesn't say the Lord will give you what you've asked. He says, he kind of joins her prayer and says, "May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of Him. May your servant find favor in your eyes," she says. Then she went her way and ate something. What had she not been doing? Though her husband was giving her 10 times, or double the portion, I should say, of what he was giving to Peninnah and the others, he was giving her double and saying, "Why aren't you eating? Why are you so downcast?" She hadn't been eating. She was in such deep grief and anguish. Again, in Psalm 42, it says, "My tears have been my food day and night. Why are you downcast, O my soul?" Her tears had been her food, weeping bitterly. What just happened, though? She got up and she ate something. And then it says, her face was no longer downcast. Now, had God answered her prayer? Not yet. What happened? But everything had changed. You can feel her heart being lifted, her face being lifted. She's eating. And when it says they arose the next morning and they worshiped before the Lord, you get the sense that this is the first time in a long time Hannah is worshiping with an uplifted heart and soul. I'm saying she's giving thanks by faith, and simply knowing now that God has heard her prayer. That's it. He's heard. Sometimes we think we know what we need. We often know what we want. And we ask God, "Please give me this," or "with this person," or "that person," or "this thing," whatever it is, or "this healing. God, this is what I need." And we're downcast, we're in anguish until we think God will give us that. Who knows more what we need than we do? God. And you know, when we pray and truly give it over to God, it's truly given over to God. And that thing inside, that need, that yearning, that feeling that we think we know, is also given over to God. And we know He simply heard. Psalm 18, verse 6. Says, "In my distress," we could say deep anguish, "in my deep anguish, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From His temple, He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears." Do you feel that? God has heard you. He's heard you. Psalm 116, which Thomas read from, which Scott and others read at the Thanksgiving Eve service this past week, Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. It says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. I love the Lord, not because he gave me this or he did this. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. When I was a chaplain in the Navy, I still don't consider myself really a counselor. I haven't been trained in counseling per se, but I had a lot of sailors, a lot of Marines come to me for counseling. But you know what happened was I sat there and did what? I listened. When they came to the chaplain, they could pour out, they could talk about, they could cry out, or they could complain about their higher-ups, and they knew it wouldn't go back to their chain of command. So it was a safe ear. You know, usually, often I would just listen to what they said, and then I'd offer a prayer. And that was it. And they'd say, oh, thank you. That was exactly what I needed. It's like, you know, I didn't do anything. But I heard them, and I prayed. When you truly know by faith that God has heard you, it's like, how can you hear me in the midst of all the billions of people and all that's going on in the entire universe, and God can hear? Yes. When your heart, your soul cries out to the Lord, he hears your prayer. And this is exactly what he wants, is for us to cry out to him. Take it to him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, very well-known verses. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Trust in the Lord with three-quarters of your heart. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will make your paths straight. That word acknowledge, it's gotten weak, meaning we can use acknowledge like, oh, I see Colby there, I nod to him, I've just acknowledged his presence. That's not what this means. When you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, it's trusting and committing all of your ways to him. Everything in your heart, putting it onto the Lord, giving it over to him, which means you are left with freedom. And that's that knowing. He has it. He's heard me. God has this. And now I'm free to worship him by faith. I need to address one thing here. Back in verse 11 in the first part that we read, Hannah prays this. She says, Lord Almighty, if. Sometimes this is a dangerous prayer, right? But here's what she prays. Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. In short, Lord, if you will give me a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. This is called bargaining. Lord, if you do this, then I will do this. Right? It's one of the five stages of grief. When you lose someone, there's denial, there's anger, there's this thing called bargaining, which isn't rational. And in the form of grief, it's often when you say, Lord, if you would bring that person back that we lost, then I will devote the rest of my life to you. Then I will you fill in the blank. So is Hannah's prayer here true? Meaning, is her heart pure here? Is it right? Or is this a selfish prayer? Because often this can be a selfish thing. Lord, if you will do this, then I will. And it's simply a way you think you can get God to give you what you want. Well, we find out her heart later on in this chapter, right? Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, which means, again, you're looking fully, wholly to him and delighting in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God knew Hannah's heart. He saw that depth, and he knew exactly the right moment to grant her request. Remember, he had closed her womb for a time. And through Eli, we get the sense, right, that God is going to answer when Eli says, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. May he give you that. Picking up now in verse 19, the second part. So they had risen, worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah from Shiloh. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Samuel in Hebrew, you see that E-L ending? L in Hebrew means God. Bethel, house of God. Samuel means heard in the sense of God has heard. God heard. Remember? That's why she was thankful by faith. God has heard. She named him Samuel. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, her husband Elkanah told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman, Hannah, stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, pardon me, my lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. We don't have an exact time frame here. Think of Hannah. She's received her heart's desire, a son. Nursing him, loving him, thanking God, right? This is the third part now. Thanking God when your cup overflows, when he responds to your prayers and then some. Her vow, if you give me a son, then I will give him to you, devoting him entirely to you, Lord, and to your service. God knew her heart, and here she fulfills her vow, her heart's desire. She gave him back. Hearing that? Feeling that? All those prayers and all that anguish. And now, here he is. She gives him back. When we, in the Lutheran Brethren Church, we used to have regional pastors. This church, we're in the central region here in North Dakota. Though we were right next to the central region, we were actually in the western region. And our regional pastor, Pastor Gary Whitcup, for many years, one time he spoke at one of our pastors and spouses get-together conferences. And one thing I remember, he told us, he said, hold things in life, hold things lightly. Lightly, not tightly. But lightly. Another way of saying that is, you know, whatever you have, whatever you think you have, no matter what it is, it's only yours for a time, right? And including people, including things most dear to us. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. What does that leave for us? Everything is God's. We are God's. You are God's. Our spouses, our children, our families, everything we have is only ours for a time. Hold it lightly in the sense of giving it back to whom it actually belongs. And guess what? Not reluctantly, right? But with thanks. God, thank you. Everything that you like to put my in front of, this is mine, 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 switch that to go through everything, God's. This is God's. You are gods. You are gods. You're gods. You know, verse 11, back to that verse in her prayer, Hannah uses this word, remember. She says, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me. Remember me. And then in verse 19, when he answers her prayer, it says, Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. Remember. Now, we use that word and we think it has to do with just bringing someone back into our mind, right? Oh, I remember now, or some detail. I remember that. A mental activity, which it is, but in the Hebrew, the word is zakar, and we see it throughout the Old Testament. Whenever this word, when the Lord remembers, it's not simply like the Lord forgot, and now it's, God remembers. It's a physical or body activity. It means something happens. And usually it means the Lord, when he remembers, he's acting on someone's behalf intentionally. When the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, they cried out, and it says the Lord remembered his covenant with Abraham, and then he sent Moses to confront Pharaoh and the rest. God acted to bring his people out when he remembered them. Remember me. The Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered Noah. The Lord remembered Abraham. Similarly to Hannah, the Lord remembered Rachel. Remember Leah and Rachel? Rachel wasn't able to have children for quite a while until the Lord remembered her and opened her womb. He remembered Joseph. In the New Testament, there's one example, I think, that exceeds all of these that we can relate to in a sense. So when Jesus is on the cross, Jesus, the Son of God, is on the cross. There are two men, two criminals on either side of him, also on crosses. They're all being crucified. They're all dying. One of those two criminals, at the last moment, as he's dying, repents. And he looks at Jesus, another bloody dying man on a cross. But he sees and knows by faith something miraculous, really, because he's looking at Jesus, a dying man, and what does that repentant criminal say? Jesus, remember. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, is he saying, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, just have fond thoughts of me, don't forget me? He knows. Remember me, do something for me, save me. It's a cry for help, but also a cry of recognition. When he's seeing a dying man on a cross, but he's seeing his king. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. And what does Jesus say? Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus doesn't say, I'll bring you into my mind when I'm there. You know, I'm bringing you with me. The Lord remembered Hannah and honored her prayer. Her son, Samuel, and Hannah remembered her vow and honored her Lord with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, even now I'm praying, but my mind, my heart, it gets so distracted so quickly, so easily. Forgive me for that. Help us, Lord, to focus on you. Help us, Lord, when we turn to you and we cry out to you, to know that you hear us when we cry from the depths of our soul. Lord, it's hard to give thanks when things are hard, when we're feeling pain. And yet we know it's your will in Christ Jesus for us to give thanks in all circumstances. And there was the key. It is in Christ. In and through Jesus Christ, we can give you thanks all the time in any circumstance. No matter how painful, because we know we have this hope, this living hope in Jesus, that this isn't it, that you sent Jesus to bring us into your kingdom through and with him to be in your presence forever, the greatest gift of yourself. Lord, we do thank you, and we do love you for hearing our prayers. Guide us and lead us this Advent season in this strange time that we live in, that we look to you and know you are sovereign over all of it, and you are sovereign over every detail of our lives, including our death, that you've given us hope on into eternity. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.